James chapter 4. From where do wars and fightings come among you? Don't they come from your own desires, your lusts that are fighting inside your minds? You lust and don't have, you kill and desire to have, and you can't obtain what you want. You fight and war, yet you don't have, because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive, because you ask wrongly, that you may spend it upon your lusts or your desires. So he's saying that the cause of all argument and friction, etc., conflict between people, is our own desires. It's not that there is some dragon out there or called Satan or whatever, but the real Satan, the real enemy, is inside us. And he says that you ask but you don't receive because you ask wrongly so that you may consume it on your lusts. So if you say, oh God, give me lots of money tomorrow, give me a beautiful car tomorrow, give me this tomorrow, may I open my eyes and see money on the pavement or whatever. Well, no, this is not how God works. He will give us what we ask if we ask for the right thing. And the right thing that we ask for is his will and the things of his kingdom. That's what we ask for. And if we ask then according to God's will, we will receive. But if we ask just for our own pleasures, no, God is not just going to give us all an amazing life with all the material things. That's not what he's promised, and often he doesn't give that because he knows that it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, and he wants us in his kingdom more than anything else. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship of the world is being an enemy of God, and whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God? So it's not that we hate the world. We've got to follow God's example. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when it talks then about being a friend of the world, it means going in a worldly way and thinking in their way. And so for the believer in Christ, there will always be a huge difference between them and the world around them. Do you think that the scripture says for nothing that the spirit that is in us always lusts towards envy? In other words, naturally, we are inclined towards being jealous, envious. I want that, and so I lust after that, and I want that. But God gives more grace when he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then the way of the humble is not to be coveting or envying or desiring this, that, and the other that I haven't got. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the more you resist your own lusts, which is what he's been talking about in the last verses, what he here calls the devil, the big enemy, the false accuser, the adversary, then he will go further and further away from you. But if you draw near to God, he'll come nearer and nearer to you. So over time, I think temptation does, well, it never goes away, but in a sense it gets easier because the lusts, the desires go away. We no longer are envious and lustful, wanting this, that, or the other that we've seen with our eyes. We see differently. We draw nearer to God and he draws nearer to us. Wash your hands, you sinners. Clean your hearts, you double-minded. So when you've got just one heart, one mind, and that's for God, and that's all you want, and you're not looking for great things in this life, then this is God drawing near to you, and the devil of your own lusts and desires will go further away from you. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the eyes of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So again, it's all about being humble. And the way of being humble is not wanting things that are not yours. not coveting, but being content, as Paul says, with such things as you have. Don't speak evil of each other, brothers. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. And if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judges another? Now, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go into such a city and we'll be there for a year and we'll buy and sell and make a lot of money, you don't know what will be tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even like a puff of wind that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So this is why it's so important to say Lord willing or God willing, because our lives are in his hand, and not to plan that we're going to make lots of money and we're going to do this, going to do that, and think that that is what's going to happen, because it is all the will of the Lord. But now you're rejoicing in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil, because they were saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get rich, I am going to go and trade in this city, I'll live there a year, then I'll go there. And he's saying that being proud like that is absolutely evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It's rather like Jesus says, when he says that the person who knows his Lord's will and doesn't do it will be punished severely, more so than the man who doesn't know his Lord's will and therefore doesn't do what he's asked. We know to do good. We know far more than other people because we know God's will from the Bible. And we who know to do good should do it. Because it's true that knowledge does bring responsibility. That's kind of obvious, but it's also taught in the Bible. So we know to do good. If you know, for example, that you should be baptized, then you should be. If you know that you should do this or that and you don't do it, well, as he says, to him it is sin. Now, this is no reason to not want to know about God, because the way to the kingdom of God, in one sense, is easy. Because God wants us to be there. He's not making it an obstacle course. On the other hand, it is all about picking up the cross of Jesus, denying ourselves, and as he says here in this chapter, not to want to please our own lusts, our own desires. But I think that as we get older, we understand that why anyway should I wish for this or that or the other? Why? If we've got God in our lives. And in any case, as you get older, you have less and less ability to enjoy yourselves with the things that you think that money can buy. And so to be content means to not be covetous. And then this is what he means when he says resist the devil. He's been talking all the way through here about our lusts. And quite clearly that is what he means by the devil. And then we will draw nearer to God and he will draw nearer to us, and that is the most amazing thing.